Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right, well, I want to dive in today, talk about something completely different than the last couple of weeks. And I want to start out with, in John chapter 4, verse 1, we'll put these on the screen as well. I want to read out of the Passion Translation. I like using several different translations. Some of my go-tos are New American, and I love the Passion, I like the Message, I like the Amplified, the Young's Translation, the Tree of Life Translation. I like all of those, and they bring out different elements of within this context. They're all done very well. And I just so appreciate what they bring out, honestly, in so many of these different translations that they didn't have a long time ago. But says here, soon the news reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing greater crowds of followers coming to be baptized than John. Although Jesus didn't baptize, but had his disciples baptize the people. When Jesus heard what was being said, in other words, you're doing more than John, you're baptizing more than John, Jesus abruptly left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee. Verse 4, and he had to pass through Samaritan territory. And that's worth noting there. At this point in the history of Israel, the Samaritans had not the best reputation among the Jewish people because they had a similar heritage, but when the Assyrians captured them, they started to intermarry with the Assyrians, and so the Jews basically called them what we would, half-breeds is how they referred to them. They felt like that they were impure, that they weren't whole, that they weren't true worshipers, plus the Samaritans didn't hold as scripture the prophets and the poets, the Psalms. They just held the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament as scripture. They didn't count the rest. And so there were, for several reasons, they were disliked by the Jews. They weren't trusted, and they wouldn't even speak with them. There was just like, cut them off is what the Jewish people did with Samaritans. So Jesus is passing through this region, and of course, I don't remember if it was before this moment or after when Jesus tells the story, the parable about the good Samaritan that really torqued the Jews off even more because he was putting them in a good light and this one man is having a better heart than, the priest and everyone else. Anyway, so here's Jesus passing through Samaritan territory. Verse 5, Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph long ago. Then wearied by his long journey. Do you realize that Jesus got wearied? He was wearied by his long journey. And he sat on the edge of Jacob's well. Sat on the edge of Jacob's well. Pretty interesting. I was looking up just the timeline. And that well had been in operation at that point for 1,900 years. That's pretty amazing. One of the things that we do, Josh and I do, is, we don't really do it ourselves, but we help dig wells in Africa. We've done 780 or so of those. And if they last 1,900 years, I'm really happy about that. That's our goal. We want to, and I said that to our team here recently, this is our goal, 1,900 years for each of these wells we're digging for them to produce water. So Jesus goes and he sits on the edge of the well. He's tired. And then he sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Now, weariness is something that is pretty normal in this world that you and I live in. Comes from several different things. For Jesus, it was walking mile after mile after mile after mile after mile in the heat of the day back then. For us, I think of from the month of March until now, we've been in this long journey of COVID that we've been fighting against, wearing masks, which is so weird, right? social distancing, which is so weird, and concern about the disease, concern for loved ones. Many of you separated from loved ones, grandparents separated from grandchildren, distance created, no hugs, no handshakes, just elbow bumps and air hugs and things like that. I mean, really weird. And then it's affected a lot of business. It's affected a lot of personal lives, financially, so many things. COVID has been a wearying journey for, I would say, most people, if not all. There's been changes. And it's, you know, I think everybody's like ready for this thing to be gone, right? Let's then get out of here. So it's a wearying thing, and it affects every part of our lives, or most part of our lives, I should say, since then. And then, you know, May, June, we had the protests related to really the killing of George Floyd, the difficulties there in our nation, the uprising, all the kind of things, and the riots and lots of things there as well. Of course, the economy still struggling, a lot of people losing jobs. Then we've had lots of storms, flooding, sicknesses from COVID and other things, diseases that people battle, all those on top of everything else going on, a lot of weary journeys for people. And then we add an election on top of that with so many opinions, differences of values, as well as just difficult all the way around. So 2020 has been trying, and I would say wearying in some ways. Has anybody else felt wearied by things, by life, by all that you have to do extra, and just the layers of stuff? It's like it doesn't go away, you know? Sometimes, you know, when I get sick, if I get the flu or whatever, you go through that, it's no good, and then phew, it's gone, it's done, it's behind you, you move on. COVID is just like staying around, and it just seems just like trying to wear us out. In fact, it says in Daniel that one of the enemy's jobs and what he does is to wear out the saints. That's part of what the enemy's trying to do all the time, is to wear you out. To get you to quit, to get you to give up, to get you to back up, to get you to not live in faith, to get you to be discouraged, depressed, hopeless, and just tired. Just tired, just worn out. Let's keep going with this passage here. It says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink of water from this 1900-year-old well. Surprised, she said, why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? Jesus replied, verse 10, if you only knew, in other words, you don't know everything that's going on here. If you only knew who I am, if you knew who I am, and the gift that God wants to give you, how about that? You'd ask me for a drink, and I would give to you living water. If you really knew what was going on in this difficult situation, in this moment of your life, Jesus said you would be asking a different question than you are right now. You would be making a different request if you really knew what was going on and who I am. I found that in my own life, during difficulties, during hardships, during things that seem the exact opposite, when it is really feels, you feel frustration building and growing, that I can miss what I can have in Jesus in those moments. And he doesn't want us to do that. Because in whatever difficulty, he is available for some things that we may not realize are available to have in that moment. Verse 11, the woman replied, but sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? There's probably a little sarcasm at that moment. Verse 12, do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock? Jesus answered, if you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water that I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. Forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. How about that? Jesus just uncorks something that is available for her to have that she had no idea existed. She's talking to a guy. The well is deep. There's water there. He doesn't even have a bucket. What in the world is he talking about? And he explains something in the unseen realm that she can have in abundance and will absolutely change her life. Couple of quick notes here, by the way. This is the scripture that we put on every single well that we've done for the last 15 years, is this one right here. Because they're coming to get this water to drink, but we want them to have this living water in Jesus. So this goes in Swahili on every single well, which is pretty wonderful. Here's another thought. If you've not seen the series called The Chosen, encourage you to watch it. They just have 1 year of this so far. They're working on the next one. But there's an episode with this story in it that's beautiful. It is beautiful. Just captures some things that you wouldn't necessarily see or think about from this passage. And it'll touch your heart. And it's just beautiful. So encourage you to do those. But the Samaritan woman was there in the middle of the day. You know, when we, just as we do the water in Africa, the time to go watch people get water is always two times in the day, the morning and the evening, when it's not as hot. The same was happening back then as well, 2,000 years ago when Jesus is meeting this woman in the middle of the day. The reason she's probably out there in the middle of the day is because she's ashamed. She has a life of shame. She wants to be there when no one else is there. No one else is either rejecting her or talking about her or being mean to her or whatever. She's sneaking away in the heat of the day to be there. And it's the same time that Jesus is weary when they have this conversation. Now, okay, I want to take you to another scripture. It's Matthew chapter 11. I want to read it first in the New American Standard. Matthew 11, 28. This is Jesus. And he says, come to me, all. You wouldn't mind saying that with me. All. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You know, the scriptures and the person of Jesus provide for every single human need that there is. Every single human need, every want, every desire, every satisfaction, Jesus has made a way to be filled, to have, to get help, healing, whatever it is, he's made a way. And here he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. If you're weighed down with things. That has been one of the biggest battles in my personal life. My first 30 years was dealing with anxiety. Weighed down with cares and burdens and trying to work everything out of my own strength and losing hair and losing sleep and losing weight. I couldn't gain a pound just because I'm just worried all the time. I had to respond to what he's saying here and give him the things that I was carrying myself and couldn't carry, tried to carry, but I couldn't carry. He says, come to him, all who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How did he do it? He went to his father all the time, for one. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What a promise. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. Let's read it in the Passion Translation, same passage. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. You know, each government sets up agreements for trade with other nations or within a nation. They have trade agreements. The way that I read this passage is that Jesus is setting up a trade agreement, a perpetual trade agreement that's good every single day of every year for the rest of our lives. And it's what we just read. He said, come to me. So that's our action. First, to come to him in faith and to trade with him. To trade with him. Jesus is saying, would you give me what you have that's heavy and wearisome? Would you trade that? And I will give you what I have. What does he have? He has everything. He's got rest. He's got peace. He's got hope. He's got joy. He's got life, abundant life. He has everything that we need. But we have to come to him. I know many people, Christians, we do this sometimes, where we are waiting on God to do something for me. I'm waiting for him to show up. I'm waiting for him to do something. I'm waiting for him to change a situation. It's interesting what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 11. He basically, this would be the Matt Peterson translation. It would be this: I have already done everything. Come to me. Don't wait for me to do something. I've already done it. Now I want you to come to me so we can trade, so that I can give you what you cannot see, like this woman at the well. Things that you don't have any idea about, that you can't taste, you don't feel it. It doesn't feel like it's even possible in the air right now. Jesus is saying, come to me. I want to let you in on something that I can give to you. And there's no expiration date on this. None. This wasn't just for a moment. He said all. It's for all. We can come to him at any moment and any time. We don't just have the gospel words that are true. We don't just have the scripture, which is true and amazing and beautiful and spectacular. We have the living person who was raised from the dead, is alive right now, is near us. He said this: I will never leave you or forsake you. Even to the end of the age, doesn't matter. You are never alone. You know, if you feel lonely, you believed a lie. Because guess what? Jesus is closer than a brother. He is the friend that never leaves, and he has everything that we need at all times. I was thinking yesterday, because my wife is gone with my son at a tournament in Maryland, and I'm alone. And it reminded me of when I was single. And I remember those. I was single till I was 26. And I really enjoyed my single years. And here's why I enjoyed my single years, is because I poured myself into Jesus and allowed him to pour himself into me, and I just was fully his. So it's like, you know, you want to add, I desired a wife, but I wasn't living an incomplete life waiting for her. Because we are complete, Colossians chapter 2 says we are complete in him, whether you're single or whether you're married. Right? We're never alone. You're never alone. You have Jesus and the fullness of God in bodily form, says of Jesus, and then he lives in me. And he is the vine that we're to be plugged into, abiding in. So the juice in Jesus is the juice in me. The vitality, the life, the wholeness, the holiness, all of those things are in him. And he says, come to me and get it. He is our oasis. He can give what no vacation can, by the way. I know that we look forward to vacations. I do. But you know what? It will let you down to some degree, even if it's amazing, because Jesus is the one who gives the complete peace and rest that you need. We can still enjoy those vacations, But you could go away from it missing something if we're not getting a hold of him. He is a vacation while you're home. He can give what no relationship can give. People sometimes look to relationships and squeeze the life out of that thing trying to get something that they want or need, and they can't get it. Because that relationship is only with him that we can get everything. He can give what no money can buy. How do we do this? We come by faith. Everything we get in God, you've heard me say this many times, everything we get in God, we get by faith. You don't always see it. Most of the time you don't. You don't always feel it. Most of the time you don't. But we receive everything that we get in God, including your salvation, by faith. Healing, by faith. Peace, by faith. Joy, by faith. We, by faith, exercise the faith muscle of our being and believe. That's why he said, this is the work of God in John chapter 6. This is the work of God, that you believe in him that has been sent from heaven. We need to believe in him. That's work. That's faith. And when we believe what he says, like here in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, and we put ourselves in that place of believing and obeying him and coming to him, then we can receive all that we need, all that he wants to give. Jesus is that good. He's that near. He's also been tempted in everything and every way that you and I have been tempted. He's been weary before. He knows what weariness is like. He endured greater suffering than any of us ever will. He also knows how to comfort each of us in the midst of anything we have endured, anything we've been through, anything that is heavy on us, anything that's weighty. Okay, I'm pretty much done talking. I'd like to do something, if you're okay. This is honestly one of the things that keeps me alive and keeps me full and keeps me free, is this passage. This is such a short, wonderful passage. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Coming to him, learning to do that on a daily basis, is a practice that will produce one of the greatest benefits for your life throughout your life at all times. And if you ever feel the weight, like you're carrying something you can't bear, then you shouldn't be carrying that. I've done something wrong. I need to get to Jesus and exchange. I need to trade. You ever traded a car in? Right? You go there, you say, this is what I've got. I'd like a newer model. I'd like something better than what I have. So you trade that thing in. Then you get this, you get a new one. Jesus is like that. I like to use the example of, this is a strange maybe example to some degree, but if a little child has a matchbox car of a Porsche and he goes to the Porsche dealership, the closest one I think is in Greensboro, and he walks in there and says, can I speak to the general manager or the owner? Sure. And he says, I'd like to trade this for a 911 turbo. And if he said, sure, I'll take your matchbox car that costs $2, and I'll give you a $100,000 car. Now that sounds crazy, but in the spirit and with Jesus, you're getting a better deal than that. And it's true, that's a reality. To take whatever you have, it's like our sin. You take that to Jesus, you give that to him, he washes you clean and sets you free. It's the best deal of all time. You and I are supposed to be consummate traders, not traitor, traders, trading with Jesus things that are heavy, things that are weary, things that weigh me down, anxiety, cares, concerns, coming to him, taking them up on his invitation. I would say many, many, many Christians never take Jesus up on his invitation. The King of the universe says, here's what I'm saying to you, come to me. I'm not just gonna do this for you, you have to come, and when you do, we'll do some trading. You give me everything that's lousy. That's what he's saying. Give me everything that's lousy in your life, and I will take it, and I will give you what you desire. Peace, rest, life, joy, hope, ideas, creativity, ways of doing things. I'm gonna help you sleep at night, set you free. I'll take your sin too. Give me that. That's who Jesus is. It's what he does, and he wants to be that personal with us at all times. And I know you guys know this, you know these passages, but I've found that many times we can know something and not be living something all the time, right? So we need reminders to live this way, not know this way only. How am I living? How am I exchanging? Am I that close with Jesus that I'm coming to him daily and putting the heaviness on him so that I receive his rest and peace? It's not any type of condemnation. It's a beautiful invitation. It's an invitation to freedom. So how about we do this? Let's first, you can sit, you can stand, you can come up front, whatever is in your heart, but let's just take a couple of minutes. If you wouldn't mind, just close your eyes. And if this is you, if you would like to trade something with Jesus in this moment, this day, and get refreshed, if anyone would like a refreshing, you'd like to dive into that oasis, that pool, let's do that right now. And here's how we do it. We do it by faith. And so we come to you, Jesus. We respond to your invitation that you said, come to me, and that you are here right now. You're not far away. You're not distant. You're here in this very moment. You're here in this minute. And we, by faith, we come to you. We come your direction. We move toward you. We've been singing about you and lifting you up, and now we're coming to you. And we right now take every weight, every tough decision, everything that feels like it's been crushing me, every things related to business, to family, to hardship, to difficulty, to loss, the weight of that's going on in our nation, all of the things that tend to try and push me down and crush and make weary. We're bringing our arms full of these things to you, Jesus. And you said this crazy thing that you will take it. And so we just give it to you. We give each of those things. And right now, in your heart, your mind, your life, whatever is going on in your life, whatever situation you can't fix, whatever people have hurt, harmed, or putting pressure on you, whatever that is, whatever answers you don't have, exchange. Give them to Jesus right now. Give those to him in this moment. Trade your matchbox car. Just give it to him. He's the owner. He's got everything. So we give these to you right now, Jesus, because you said we could, and you invited us. And we now, with empty hands and a yoke that's off of our shoulders and off of our minds, we receive, because we're your son and your daughter, we receive what we need. We receive that drink from water we didn't know existed, that you own, living water that satisfies. We receive and drink in peace. Take a deep breath and breathe in the peace of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Breathe in and drink rest for your soul. It goes all the way to your soul. Jesus has rest for your soul. Your soul that's been on this hamster wheel. Stop spinning. And you receive rest on the inside. Where you receive joy again. The joy of your salvation. Hope that rises like the sun in the morning on the inside. We receive hope because you're the God of hope. We receive freedom from shame that we've just given to you. receive freedom in our spirit and our body and our minds right now from the things that have weighed me down, my past sin, my past mistakes. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that you have to cleanse and wash right now. We receive your power, your strength for the journey that we're in right now. We receive strength into our legs, into our walk with you. We receive hope into our heart and into our spirit man. We receive the spirit that John the Baptist said that you give Jesus without measure. Can't even measure it. There's no way to measure the spirit that we receive from you, Jesus. So we receive right now from you personally strength, power, help, comfort. We receive comfort that we need. And whoever in here needs comfort, you lost a loved one. You've been hurting through because of relationships that have gone awry. Receive his comfort. He is the one who brings comfort. We receive peace. The Prince of Peace. It's okay. Everything is okay. And Lord, we receive even greater faith to believe what you have for us right now. Increase our faith. The disciples asked that. We're asking for that right now. Increase our faith, Jesus. We give you faithlessness and we receive from you full faith. Faith to believe your word, faith to believe you personally, faith to believe your invitations, faith to walk into this life and through this life that you have for us with faith, knowing you are with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're my strength. You're my portion. You're my rock. You're my help. Everything that I need is in you. And Lord, we'll give away all loneliness and receive that sense of community in you, that sense of family, that sense of being loved and being a child of yours, cared for, taken care of, planned for, provided security and protected. We receive your protection. Every debt that weighs heavy, we give you all the debt and we ask for your freedom from debt. Debt of sin, debt financially, asking for your help in all of those things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it right now in our being. We allow those things of yours to land on the inside and to grow in our spirit, our soul, our mind. And we receive that transformed, renewed mind. The mind of Christ says that we have in you. We get your mind, so we receive your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your joy. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.